Sarah, you reference a person called Carla in your report about her experience with the discharge planning. Talk about that.
So again, these names are pseudonyms, but Carla was a person who had been arrested multiple times, 52 times in 6 years in Multnomah County. And all the charges were things like sidewalk obstruction, camping, littering, interfering with a peace officer, trespass, disorderly conduct, theft, public transportation fare violations. Many of the cases were not prosecuted, but she was just in and out of jail a lot for things related to homelessness and behavioral health. So on a recent charge, she went to the state hospital because she was not competent to aid and assist to defend the charge. And then she went back to jail, wasn't facing time for the charge, so was going to be discharged. But rather than discharge her to the street, the jail's clinical staff took a somewhat unusual step of having her released directly to Providence Hospital on a mental health hold. As is often the case, the county sent somebody out to see whether or not to continue the hold, and the hold was dropped. And at that point, according to the police report, she wanted to stay, and it sounds like she actually received approval from the on-call doctor to stay, because whether or not you need mental health care is different than whether or not you can be involuntarily committed. So, you know, there are a lot of people who might choose to get health care, even though their situation doesn't rise to the threshold where the state could force that health care on them. So she wanted to stay. The doctor approved her stay, and yet somehow that was lost in translation, and the staff who was on site told her to leave. She didn't want to leave. She refused to leave, and so the police were called on a trespass charge. The police report says that when they arrived, she was, quote, making no sense, and she kept repeating, "I am not discharged." So the police arrived, they found her handcuffed in the security office, and they took her back to jail. So despite, you know, this pretty extraordinary effort on that a lot of people coordinated to try to get her out of the criminal justice system and into healthcare services instead, she was really rejected by the healthcare system and sent right back to jail within a couple of days, you know, of going to the hospital.
And I want to stress again that these are mostly nonviolent. These are people that want treatment. These are people that are seeking treatment, and they are having this experience going to the one place where they should get care, our hospitals.
Right. You know, when we talk about mental health diversion, one of the counter arguments that comes up is like, well, people don't want care, or people are too violent for hospitals to serve them. So that's why they end up going to jail. But what's interesting about these cases is that these are mostly people who, you know, we didn't see anything in the report that indicated violence. And if they were violent, they probably would have had a higher charge than trespass. And they were all people who wanted care, who were looking for help, who refused to leave the place where they thought they could get help. So it really shows how far we have to go in terms of decriminalizing mental illness and providing some meaningful diversion opportunities. Because if we're not diverting people who are nonviolent and who are looking for help, then, you know, those should be the easiest individuals to divert from the criminal justice system.